from the Northwest Congregation, Mr. Scott McKeon, with the sermonette.
Well, thank you, Mr. Anderson. Good afternoon, everyone. Well, here we are, the last service of the last day of unleavened bread. Certainly, a lot of effort has gone into us being at this point. A lot of effort and diligence went into us went into our efforts as we prepared for Passover, both spiritually and physically, as we de-leavened our homes, our cars, our vehicles, our desks, maybe at work, as we tried to think about what sin and maybe in our lives and what we might need to get rid of, as Mr. Moranville said, before the days of unleavened bread. And then this week, we've done our best to stay away from leavening and sin all week. We've likely realized how ubiquitous both sin and leavening are in this world. There's a good chance that many of us found leavening this week. Don't worry, I won't ask for a show of hands. I will tattle on myself. I did look into this backpack that I hadn't looked in a long time, and I remembered that something was in there that I needed, and as I'm digging through it, I see this granola bar. And I thought, oh, no, it's a granola bar. There can't be anything, and you have to peel the little thing back. I didn't even know if there was ingredients listed on it, but when I found them, I did find baking soda in there as well, so I was guilty there. There's a better chance that we did find sin in our lives this week. It's even harder to get rid of, isn't it? Whereas leavening we can put into the trash bags and take out to the curb and it's gone. Sin is a little more difficult in that it's so entrenched in our thoughts and our actions and our behaviors. It can be very difficult to get rid of in spite of our best efforts. We probably have gotten to a point as we try to eliminate sin from our lives and even all those thoughts, we've probably come to a point where we realize that our efforts to get rid of this is futile. They are futile. Our efforts alone will only get us so far. And we can do our best and we can come a long way, but we can only go so far on our own. And that is the point that we have come to today on this last day of unleavened bread. That point where we can go no further on our own is actually a part of God's plan. It's actually where He would expect us to be right now on this day. I have a question for you that we will ask now and answer through the duration of this sermonette. And that question is, what now? What do we do now that we have come to this point? Israel asked the exact same question on this exact same day. Exodus 14 records the story of Israel leaving Egypt. And you could go there. We won't read it today. We'll refer to parts of it. But I suggest reading it. It's Exodus 14. It's the story of this day, actually. And we know that Israel left Egypt. By analogy, that is us, the church, leaving sin. Israel went as far as they could go. And on this day, they found themselves up against the Red Sea. They could see the Egyptian army closing in on them. They realized that at this point they could go no further on their own. And they asked the question, what now? The answer is that without God's intervention, they would have been overcome. The Egyptian army would have easily overcome them and would have returned them straight back to their life of slavery in Egypt. Without the miracle of this day, they would not have been able to leave Egypt behind. And you know, we reach the same point in our lives spiritually, where we go as far as we can go, but then there's a point where we just can't go any farther. Before baptism, we realize that we want to make a commitment to God and His way of life, and we do our best to try to identify sin and get rid of it. But there's only so far we can go. After baptism, we constantly have that process of trying to continually overcome sin and identify it. Maybe it becomes less and less the big bags of bread, and it becomes more and more the little chunks and the little crumbs and all the little pieces of leavening that are still leavening and still sin. But we try to get to the more finer points, hopefully, as life goes on. And get rid of old ones and try to stop new ones from creeping in, as that happens as well. But again, we realize that the more we concentrate on it, which is what these holy days in the spring are for, God's holy days, designed to focus our attention on these points, we get to the same point that Israel did in Exodus 14, and that is that we can only go so far with God's help, without God's help. So the miracle that happened this day, and in answer to the people's question, God through Moses said in Exodus 14:14, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And at that point, He put a cloud between Egypt and Israel. He directed Moses to stretch his hand over the sea and cause those waters to part. He caused a wind to come, which is, I think it's interesting that it's been so windy last night and today, because it likely was that day as well. It was that day. That wind blew and dried up that ocean floor so that Israel was able to walk through what would have been a grave for them. They were able to walk through safely on that dry land, and then came Egypt pursuing them. Again, that army that would have so easily overtaken them was frustrated because God intended that to happen in the bottom of the ocean. And then those waters closed on them. And it says that not one of the Egyptians remained. God caused all of that which pursued Israel to be completely erased. And there they were on the other side, ready to ask again the question, what now? Because now all that had held them in bondage was behind them, and they were free from that. This course could not have been done without God's help, nor can we escape sin without God's help. It takes the miracle of baptism. It takes the miracle of God erasing those sins for us to be free from them. And that's what this day pictures. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. We'll start in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10, 1. It says, "Brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink." We had Passover just a week ago as well. "For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. As they came through that Red Sea, did they leave all of that behind them and go into a new life trusting God, having seen those miracles and they completely trusted Him to help them in all of their future trials? No, they didn't, did they? And because of that, God was not well pleased. And it says in verse 5, "But with most of them, God was not well pleased." And as a result, we read a little bit of that story this morning of the fact that when the spies searched out the land and came back with a bad report, basically indicating that they did not trust that God would help them overcome the obstacles that they were going to face in their future in doing what He had told them to do. He said, because of that, This whole generation will die in the desert. We can see also what they allowed to creep into their lives or come back. They had, in verse 6, it says, "We should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters, as were some of them." We can see that they became distracted. They sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. "Nor let us commit," verse 8, "sexual immorality, as some of them did, or tempt Christ, or complain," says in verse 9. So we see many of their examples, and they were bad examples. In verse 11 it says, "Now these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." We know that we're getting close to the end time. This is for us, so that we don't fall into those same situations again of not trusting God or of not putting the effort into overcoming as He has asked us to do, or of thinking that maybe we don't need His help, that we don't need the miracle that this day pictures, that we can do it on our own. In verse 12 it says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." We can all fall prey to that sin that can creep into our lives, and that, as we know after this week, is so difficult to get rid of. We can turn over to Romans 6:4 and read again about baptism. Romans 6, verse 4, says, "Therefore we were buried with Him," capital H, so buried with Christ, "through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." That's a direct answer to the question, what now? Now we've come to that point, and because of the miracle of baptism and the lesson of these days, we know that our sins have been put behind us, and that God has helped us and closed the water over all of those sins, and they're now gone. And now we walk in newness of life, trusting God, having hope in God, knowing that He's there for us as He's promised. And then, as we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. So, again, in answer to the question, what now? Now we leave the leaven and sin behind us. Hopefully we've taken the admonition that Mr. Delamater gave us on the first day of these Days of Unleavened Bread, and we've replaced the leavening in our lives, the leavening of self-service and self-interests, and replace that with humility and service to others and love, thoughtfulness towards others. Hopefully now we appreciate the miracle that this day represents. God's power helping us when we could go no further on our own. Hopefully we don't fall back into the same sins as we had before. As that sun sets tonight and we're able to once again partake of bread and of those things that we've had out of our lives for the last week, hopefully we continue to be aware of the lessons that we've learned, though, of being very careful to identify and remove sins from our lives. Now, we do not conclude this Holy Day season today, but we continue in it. We continue as we look forward to Pentecost, the day that represents the coming of the Holy Spirit, which again helps us further to remove sin, and we can all celebrate our potential as first fruits in the kingdom of God.